Good. Well, who cares? Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another show, Dropping the Gloves. We got one of this is the listener's favorite guest, Tim, hands down. We get a lot of responses. We've had a lot of good guests on here. Always positive feedback for the most part. Ryan Reeves is joining us today from beautiful Las Vegas. Ryan, thanks for jumping on, my man.
Anytime for you, Johnny.
Oh, you're so nice. We had a little kind of miscalculation here in setup, and I was so nervous you were going to jump on Chicklets or some other podcast before I got a chance to talk to you, because you're a celeb. You're one of those guys. So I appreciate
it. I'm one of those like R-list celebrity. Yeah.
No. All right. So there's some big news, and I want to just get right into it. You're 36 years old, correct?
Yep.
You just signed a 3-year deal with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
What the hell happened? Because this doesn't happen.
No, you're right. You know, I think they just saw my body. They walked in and was like, yo, this guy, he takes care of himself. He might as well throw him 3 years. I talked to Tree Living, when I wasn't going to sign in Vegas, and he's always liked me. He likes that type of physical play in his lineup. I think he knew that it was going to be tough for me to leave Minnesota. I really liked it there. I really liked the setup. You know, that locker room is unbelievable. And, I didn't really want to leave. The only way I was going to leave was for a contender. You know, I'm 36. I still don't have a cup, and I really want to win. And I think it was just, he knew he had to entice me a little bit, which he did. You know, Toronto wasn't really on my radar. And then we had a meeting with him. I was like, you know what? I like everything you're saying. You know, obviously this team has a chance to win a cup every year. You know, they finally got over the hump last year. So, they sold me on it. I'm excited to be there. It's going to be a fun couple of years.
So what was it like then? You said you didn't want to leave Minnie. What were the conversations with Billy Guerin like then?
First I told him, look, I wanted to come back, but, they obviously have, you know, 14 million in dead cap space with those two buyouts, which makes it hard for any team. You know, he came into that situation. That wasn't his doing. He came into that situation and, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to make some big moves at the deadline. Obviously, they are a good team. We made a little splash last year, but when you have 14 million a dead cap, it's hard to maneuver. And for me, when you have 2 years of that, you know, it's going to be tough. And I thought that Toronto was set up to win right now. And I told Billy, you know, before I even talked to Toronto, listen, I'm not leaving unless it's for a contender. I told him that straight up. I kept my house in Minnesota still. I was very split. Even when some teams were calling, I was still like, you know, I don't know if I really want to leave Minnesota. And I told him that a couple times, but, Toronto just seemed like too good of an option to try and win a cup, which is, you know, ultimately, you know, this is going into my 14th year. That's all I want. You know what I mean? Obviously money is always a little bit of an issue, but to me, winning a cup is more of the issue right now. And also, you know, 3 years, if I can stay healthy and stay in the lineup, more or less, that gets me to 1,000 games too, which is a big goal of mine too. So, this gives me an opportunity to do both.
Did you have, are you telling me you had a deal in place with Mini and you just said, I'm going to test the market and talk to other teams? That's pretty amazing.
Look, I'm 36 years old, and I talked to a couple teams. Actually, Mini was the first one, obviously, because I could talk to them a little bit earlier. It was a hard decision. I sat up a couple nights just because I was like, I want to win a cup, but I'm very comfortable in Minnesota, and that locker room is so good. It's like, you know, what do I want to do? Do I want to make my life a little more hectic, move my kids again? You know, I bounced around the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I've been on, you know, three teams in the last 3 years, basically. So, you know, it's tough on the family too. They're bouncing around. My kids are trying to make friends, and, then they make friends and then they leave a year later. So that came into account, but, you know, I actually told my son, I was like, hey, buddy, do you want to stay in Minnesota? Or, you know, we may have a better chance of winning a cup in Toronto because of the situation that Minnesota's in. What do you want to do? And he's like, let's go win a cup. So I said,
That's so pretty cool. That was kind
of a decision. Yeah.
So you alluded to a couple other teams you were chatting with. You want to divulge who that was?
No, it's just, yeah. No.
No? All right. A no is a no. So you picked Toronto. You've obviously, everybody knows about Toronto. Like, you're in the league. You play them all the time. You know the kind of team that they are or they were. You saw what happened to them last year. You mentioned they got over the hump, which is good. They won a playoff series. They beat the Lightning, which was a huge thing for them. But then they run into the Panthers. And I think a big reason why they added you, Domi, and Bert is just your style of play. Because Florida kind of bullied him up and down the ice. Tkachuk was a force. Radko Gudas was a force. Lomberg, that little guy in the fourth line who buzzes around the ice, they kind of had their way with Toronto. Do you see yourself just because that's why you went to New York, right? Panarin got tossed around. You come in. Yeah. Do you see this as just like the last missing piece? You three guys coming in because you all play a very, you know, physical type of hockey. Are you going to be able to calm things down for the Leafs now?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you have, you know, a couple guys like me in the lineup, that automatically just kind of calms things down a little bit. You know, I don't know if we're like the missing piece, but I think we are just, you know, additions to a piece of a puzzle that, you know, you want to win. So, you know, look, I'm not going there to score 40 goals. I think everybody knows that, but you know, I'm going in there to make sure the locker room's good and make sure guys are taken care of on the ice, off the ice. If anybody ever needs somebody, you know, usually I'm the guy guys come to, especially the younger guys. So, you know, I'm there to do a little bit of on the ice, off the ice stuff too. But yeah, on the ice, I think the moves that we've made, adding a little, you know, sandpaper and grit to the lineup is going to be good for this team.
Oh, it's incredible. Like on paper now, I told Tim off air, I was like, this is the best offseason any team's ever had. Like the Toronto's killing it right now with the people they've added. What do you think of this locker? Like, you're a locker room guy. You go in, you're well known. I talk to other guys, are like, Revo's the best. Like he brings a type of energy that we didn't have in the locker room. That might be more impactful than your on ice stuff, to be honest with you, because I've heard rumblings that Toronto is kind of a fractured locker room. What are you going to do? You're going to walk in and just take control of the room? You said you're a 14-year veteran now. You're going to be the old dog in the room.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know exactly how the locker room is, but, you know, when I come into a room, I think, you know, I like to lead the charge off the ice. You know, I make sure, you know, the team's getting together as much as possible. You know, I'm the guy that always plans parties. I make sure we're going out for dinners once in a while. You know, I usually take care of the road stuff. So, yeah, I guess, you know, Toronto is a big city, kind of like New York, where it's, you know, maybe guys are a little more separated, hard to get around a little bit. I kind of got to get the lay of the land, you know, with that kind of stuff. Cause, you know, look, when I got to New York, you had guys living in Connecticut, guys living near the practice rink, guys living downtown. It is hard to get together, you know, at home. But on the road, if that's the case, on the road, you have to do a little bit extra to make sure you have that, you know, that chemistry in the locker room. So, I got to get the lay of the land. I got to see, you know, what the locker room's like. I've heard great things. You know, I've talked to a couple guys that have played there that know some guys there, and they liked everybody on the team. So I don't know if it's a fractured locker room. Maybe it's, you know, maybe just need a couple more pieces.
Do you run football pools, golf pools? What makes Ryan Reeves so good?
I plan a hell of a party, I'll tell you that much.
What makes a hell of a party, Ryan? Just a couple of Labatt Blue Lights? That's all it takes for me.
No. We try and get 7-5 Brewing in there as much as we can, but
you got a beer too. Everybody has beers now, Tim.
I know.
I remember Ryan came on years ago, right when he was launching it.
Yeah, yeah. But we're only in Vegas, so probably won't make it out to Toronto. But what makes a good party?
Yeah,
I think just something a little different. You know, I threw a Halloween party one time. You know, you have the photo booth, which, you know, once people get, you know, a couple of beers in them, and the photos that come out, you know, you can get a board and put it up in the locker room, pin all those photos up throughout the year. I brought in, you know, a fake casino. where, you know, you buy in for $100 and, you know, there's roulette, blackjack, and whatever money you have left, fake money at the end, whoever has the most, you know, you win a little prize, you know, just little touches instead of just, you know, meeting up at a bar and doing the exact same thing you always do. It's just, I think it's fun just to mix it up a little bit. Yeah, that's how I plan parties.
That does sound fun, Ryan. That does.
I think so.
You mentioned that you don't really know most of the guys on the Leafs yet, like the Matthews, Marner, and those guys. Have any of them reached out? Have you had any conversation with them yet since you signed?
Yeah, I've texted with a couple of them. Riley, he FaceTimed me, but I was actually down on the strip. I tried calling him back, but he's on his honeymoon, I think, right now. So we'll connect later. The guy I know the most is Klingberg, just from playing with him the last couple months in Minnesota. So, you know, when I went to New York, I don't think I knew anybody there either. And it was fine. Like, I don't find myself to be, you know, shy with new people. I think if anything, I come in real hot and make, you know, and just kind of make sure I'm comfortable and everybody's comfortable with me. But yeah, I'll probably get in there and start chirping people right away.
Do you change? Because I was on a bunch of teams too, and I always went into every new situation, I'm like, okay, I'm going to be the cool guy on the team, this team. Because, you know, I went from Minnesota to Buffalo. In Minnesota, I was quiet. I just didn't want to step. I'm like, I'm going to be the cool guy in Buffalo. So I tried to be outgoing. It didn't work. I wasn't the cool guy. They had Otter. He was the cool guy. What do you do that? Where you're like, I made this mistake in New York. I should have did something different in Minnesota. And you pick things up from different guys. Like, oh, this guy did this. I like it. I'm going to do this with this team.
No, I mean, I've been around 14 years. I'm not going to try and change up my change up who I am every year for every, you know, for every team I go to. I think I'm a locker room guy because of just me being me and not trying to be somebody I'm not.
That's why he's still playing and I'm not, Tim.
You're close to the same age.
The only
right?
reason, Johnny, the only reason.
I was taller.
Yes, you are.
So, all right. I don't know. All right. What else, Tim?
A couple others. John sort of mentioned this already, but you look at, like, given the Maple Leafs' recent history and look at the moves they've made, including you, Bertuzzi, Domi, Klingberg, what do those moves signify to you about the direction of a team, how they're approaching this year?
I think it shows that, you know, I think the team, when you look at that team, how well they do in the regular season, and then obviously, you know, jumping out of the playoffs in the first round, you know, the last couple of years, I think it just shows that they're trying to switch things up a little bit. I think you see, you know, the teams that are winning, they have that little bit of grit and sandpaper and a little bit of in your face attitude with some of their players. Maybe, you know, things they didn't have on that team the last couple of years. And so I think it just shows their commitment to a deeper playoff run.
Are you nervous, the big market? Like,
no.
You said you had to get permission, not permission, but you just had to run it by some people.
Of course.
Toronto's a different animal.
Which most teams do. Like, you know, New York, I had to. Vegas, you know, a little bit, yeah.
St. Louis mini, no.
No, not as much. I wasn't as popular in St. Louis, though.
Like, you're not going to be able to do the fly-in calls to Biz and just be effing and jeffing everywhere, Revo.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
All right. So, you mentioned you're in Vegas. I can't do this interview without talking about the Knights winning the Stanley Cup. I had the same situation myself when I was with Chicago. The year after I left, they won the Stanley Cup. I never went back and lived in Chicago to twist the knife of the pain.
Yeah.
Is it tough walking around the strip? Everybody's pumped about the Knights. People are spitting on you, saying if you would have left sooner, we would have won the cup earlier.
No, I don't think anybody said that.
You know, I thought someone
said
that
to you, but not to me.
They spit on me in Chicago.
Do they? No, they don't spit on me over here.
But is it, honestly, though, was it tough to see them win the cup, or you were happy for some of the guys?
A little bit of both. You know, obviously, you know, it's happened to me twice now. I left St. Louis.
Yeah.
They didn't make the playoffs the next year. They won the year after that. Same thing with Vegas. I left. They didn't make the playoffs. Then they come back and won the next year. I think it's tough when you, you know, to me, I thought I was going to retire in Vegas. You know, I built a house. I was out in the community a lot. So when you think you're going to retire somewhere and then all of a sudden, it's kind of ripped out from under you and then they go and win. Yeah, that's tough. But I've made a lot of good friends on this team. And I you know, I'm happy for the city. I'm happy for the friend, you know, all my friends that won. I'm not happy that I wasn't part of it, I guess you could say. Yeah, I guess. And that's just, that's for anybody who leaves a team and they, you know, that their team wins the Stanley Cup. You wish you were part of that because, you know, you just want to win. So, you know, do I wish Minnesota won last year? Yeah, absolutely. You know, I wish it was us instead of them.
So you look at Toronto's roster right now and it's loaded with stars. You've never really been a guy who's been healthy scratched. You've played nonstop ever since you entered the league. Do you envision yourself being 82 games? Have you talked to Treveeling? Sorry, I call him Brad.
Tree Living?
Yeah, Tree Living. What's your role going to be? He's like, you're in every night. You're making over $1 million for Pete's sake. I never did that. That's insane. But yeah, what did he say to you on your role in Toronto?
You know, I think it's a lot of what a lot of teams tell me. It's, you know, if I'm playing my role properly, if I'm playing physical, taking care of the D zone, you know, I think they're less concerned about my points, but obviously you still have to contribute. You know, I can't just go months on end without putting up points. You know, that's still important in hockey. But the, you know, the physical aspect, you know, the playing well in my D zone, getting on pucks, you know, protecting players, fighting when I have to. I think as long as I do that, yeah, I think I'm going to stay in the lineup. Now, I know that if I'm not playing my role, I know that I can come out of the lineup, but I plan on playing my role and staying in the lineup for 82 games.
So are we going to see some fights this year from you? It's been a disappointing last couple of years. Are guys just saying no?
Well, there's just less guys.
Are you losing your edge?
There's just less guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's just not as many. There's, you know, ever since the lockout, there's been a lot less. And then even the last couple of years, there's just less and less.
Okay, so are we going to see an active Ryan Reeves this year?
You want an active Ryan Reeves?
I would like to see a little more action. Okay. We get a lot of talk. I always pump you up. You're number one in the league. I want to see some, you know,
all right.
Revo action.
I'll show you why I have the belt, I guess.
You have it? Can you show it to me? I never had the belt.
You know, it's in a case up on my wall. I can't take it down, sorry.
I was never number one in the league when I played. I always gave that to Steve McIntyre.
I only became a top, you know, three guy once all those guys left. You know, those guys are a different era. They're, you know, they were built strictly to fight and not, you know, a lot of them not to play. They're playing 3-4 minutes and just fighting three times, right?
Where do I fall in your mindset in those rankings? Am I one of the meatheads?
Pretty close to that, yeah.
We're gonna wrap this up, Tim. So I got a couple more because you represent, I feel like you and Luch and I guess McDermott kind of falls in this category, a dying breed of fighters, right? It's definitely weeding itself out. Were you surprised to get a 3-year offer? Because you're 36, Ryan. Like that's a big deal for a guy of your ilk.
No, it really is. And, you know, I'm honored that they offered me that for sure. You know, I think, you know, maybe a lot of it had to do with, you know, my injury history. You know, for the way I play physical and fighting, I've only been on, you know, knock on wood, I've only been on long-term injury reserve twice. One was from a broken hand, one was from an ankle a couple of years ago. But for the most part, I've been able to stay very healthy. I think it's because, you know, I like to take care of my body. You know, I like to work out. And, you know, I have my whole life. I think maybe they see that as, you know, my longevity. I'm going to do everything in my power to prove them right.
Did retirement ever creep in this offseason?
I'm going to have no offers to retire. I love this game too much to just say, no, I'm done. I'm sore. You know, I'm getting older and I'm getting sore, but my body's holding up for the most part. I think a limb would have to fall off for me to retire.
No kidding. And the wife and the kids are full on. Because my big thing was my wife, because I had a couple offers, you know, two ways, that kind of stuff. My wife was like, you're done. Absolutely no, I'm done. She's on board. I guess you're in the NHL. I was in Newfoundland my last year. That makes a difference.
Yeah. You know, I guess this year was the first time we came home to Vegas. And the only thing that's really wearing my wife out is having to unpack twice a year. So, you know, we go to Toronto, we're going to have to pack some stuff up, come back here, unpack the Vegas house, then go back to Toronto, get that place all unpacked. You know, I think that's starting to wear out a little bit. But she also knows how much, you know, time in my life I've put into this sport, and to just give up because I, you know, when I don't have a cup, because I don't want to move around, I know she's not trying to say that. So, look, I don't like unpacking either. It's very annoying to do twice a year. The last
you
couple
don't
years.
Do it. You hire people. Let's just call.
No,
call what it is.
I don't do it. My wife does it and she doesn't even let me help because she's much better at that stuff than I am. And I don't take that away from her. So, and maybe not all women are like that, but my wife is like that. And I stay out of her way.
No, I'm the same way. I'm just teasing. Are you thinking a house or a condo?
A house, yeah. We need some space. We need a little space.
Will you buy?
Yeah, I think so.
And you have a place in Mini still?
Yeah.
Place in Vegas.
I was just renting that, though.
Okay, but you have a place in Vegas you bought?
Yeah.
Anywhere else?
No. I have a house in Winnipeg that I rent out.
But that, like Winnipeg, you can buy a house in Winnipeg, Tim, for 30 grand.
No.
Yeah, Winnipeg sucks.
I don't deny that. I don't go back very often.
You weren't supposed to say that.
Well, I don't. I was back for the first time. You know, the only reason I go back is I got my mom, my dad, my nana. I got a couple buddies, but that's about it.
Are you excited to play in Canada the first time in your career? That's got to be kind of special.
Yeah, I am. You know, I've never done it, and I'd love the experience, and especially in a market like Toronto, I'm very, very excited for it.
What does the first month look like for you? Listen, I'm trying to wrap my head around it because I love Toronto. You get to play in Scotiabank. It's the biggest market in hockey. Yeah. Like, are you just going to be like a rookie again going out there? Because it's a huge deal.
No, I'm not going to be a rookie in 14 years. I can't be a rookie.
Did you know he played 14 years, Tim?
He's 36 years old.
This is my 14th year.
I think he's mentioned it a million times.
Well, you said rookie, so I obviously didn't hear me.
I said you're going to feel like a rookie again. You're so excited.
I'm not going to feel like a rookie again. I played in big markets.
Okay, well then just say no. You don't have to get so defensive.
He did, and then you started yelling.
Yeah, well, you're the one getting defensive.
I'm a little jealous, okay? I'm upset.
It's going to be fun. I went to, you know, I played in Vegas, which is now a massive market. And I was here for, you know, one of the craziest times in franchise history when they started. You know, we went to the finals. It was, you know, that was nuts. And then I go to New York, which is another massive market. And I had a blast there. I plan on doing the same in Toronto.
Two quick questions. Have you done any like armchair GMing to look at the lineup and figure out who your line mates will be? Have you thought about that at all?
No, that's not my job. That's above my pay grade. I'll let Tree do that.
All right, last
question. Imagine if you got some shifts with the big boys.
You know, I got a couple in New York. I got one with Zibanejad. I started the game with it. We scored right at first shift. So I don't know, maybe.
What does Gallant say? Does he put you out there to fight and say, if you don't fight, get off the ice?
I don't think he's ever told me to fight. We were playing a physical team that game, and I think it was more just kind of set the tone. But I didn't set the tone. I drove the net hard. Z put one off somebody's skate and went in. So I ate a plus.
How many points this year? We got 15 last year.
Yeah.
Play 70 games.
I'm going to say I'm going to tie my career high, 20.
20? Damn, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't think I got 10 in my career. I can't remember how many I got.
11. You got 11.
I got 11. But 11 if you include the points? All-Star game, yeah.
And three of them were in the All-Star game.
No. How many did you get in your All-Star game?
Well, I didn't. They had to change the rule because it was such a joke. So, yeah, thanks for that.
Is that, is he speaking a different language? Does joke
mean something? No, that was English. You know, those, what are those? What are those Toshiba headphones? You can get some like Bose or some Beats so you can hear me better.
You know, want to know what's pathetic?
Look, those are your kids' headphones.
These are my kids.
Of course they are. My kid has the same one, but they got the Spider-Man print on them.
No, my kids got them from the library. And then because they got one of those books on tape and I just kept the headphones.
Well,
it's embarrassing.
You know what? If I win a cup, when I win a cup, I'm going to, with my bonus money, I'm going to send you a new pair of headphones. How about that?
I would love that.
Are you on Beats?
What is
Beats
that?
By Dre? What's that?
WhatsApp?
WhatsApp? What's that? Beats by Dre. Headphones.
I'm not familiar.
That is not shocking.
He doesn't have a TV. So.
No, Dr. Dre, I went and saw Up in Smoke in grade 9.
Did you really?
I did.
Man, I got a DVD of that. I used to listen to it in my, well, I used to watch it in my car, probably not safe, but I would drive with the, I had one of those screens in my old Tahoe, and I would drive with that concert on all the time.
That was the first time I was experienced marijuana. I was just sitting in, what was the big venue in Toronto? They were passing doobies down the row, and some guy's like handing me one, and I was 16. I'm like, no, and I just passed it along because I, what am I going to do with that? So
wait, you experienced it or you just saw it?
I was around it. I touched
it. You smelled it.
It was awesome. It was crazy.
It was great. Blew right by me.
They had Exhibit. They had Eminem. They had Snoop. They had Eminem, Dre. It was a packed.
D12 was probably there.
D12, yeah.
Yeah.
Obi Trice. It was unbelievable. So,
oh, man. That's my dream right there. I love that concert.
It was good. Then I went to Dashboard Confessionals the year after because I went through my emo phase.
You were an emo?
Oh, yeah. Heavy.
Oh, I need pictures. Oh, my goodness.
I almost got this pierced right here under my lip.
I think you should bring it back. Get it pierced. Dye the hair black.
I had a huge crush on a girl, and I was just like all in, and she just didn't care.
She was emo?
Yeah, oh, yeah, big time.
Nice.
Yeah. Have you ever, have you been like punk rock? Have you always been?
No, I've been, I've been very nerdy though. I used to, when I was in grade seven, I went through this phase. I had braces. I would dye my hair blonde. I had like short curly hair. I'd dye my hair blonde. And my favorite outfit was this bright yellow t-shirt with orange pants. I looked like a flame. People called me Cisco.
In Winnipeg?
Oh, yeah. My private school. If I might be able to find a picture. This might take me a while digging, my mom digging, but I could find one.
How would you think that's good? Listen, I'm throwing stones here, a glass house, but Ryan.
Well, man, I'm grade 7. You think I know what fashion is back then?
Were you trying to be Eminem with the bleach blonde hair?
I don't know what I was trying to be honest with you. I was just, I was rocking blonde hair. What do you want from
you
me?
You must have stuck out in Winnipeg like a sore thumb.
You think?
Not a lot of black guys in Winnipeg with blonde hair.
I would say 0 to 1.
0 to 1. That's so funny. All right. So when you move to Toronto, last one, I'm keeping you too long.
We're going to go next week to look for a house.
Okay.
And then probably, you know, camp opens when middle of September, probably very beginning of September.
What are you going to say to the report? Like, you're going to be bombarded with reporters. They're going to be asking you every single question. Like, how are you going to handle that? It's going to be nuts.
Well, I'm just going to answer the questions.
Are you the answer to our Stanley Cup drought, Ryan? Are you going to come in here and save us?
I would say no. I was saying just a little piece of the puzzle.
Ryan, we've had Kyle Clifford. We've had all these other tough guys. How are you different from them? What's gonna be the difference, Ryan? They're gonna ask all those questions.
I know, and I guess we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see how everything turns out.
Is this your highest dollar amount, 1.35?
No, it's one of my lowest. I was 2775 in Vegas. Oh, don't look so surprised, Johnny.
2775?
Absolutely.
Oh man, the league's changed. It's unbelievable. You were overpaid.
What?
You were overpaid. You got to admit.
Well, to be fair, my best year was my first year on that contract.
2.77. You had a 1.775, 1.125. I'll go on record and say you've been drastically overpaid your career.
And that's fair. I'll go on record and say you've been drastically overpaid in your career too. So
at league minimum,
I was always overpaid.
What did you make? League minimum?
Yeah, every year.
Way overpaid, Johnny. Way. Overpaid.
I think they had to pay me more because the league minimum went up.
They should have made a rule that they can pay you an AHL salary, but you could be in the NHL.
That's fair. There was multiple years where I didn't get 1 point.
I believe that. Yeah.
I was a good locker room guy.
But that's impressive in itself, to be honest. You should brag about that.
I didn't plan any parties though. You know what I would say? People would chirp me. You got 0 points. I'm like, I get paid to work out, bro. Because I was healthy scratch so often, Ryan, you would hate it. Like, do you get, how many times have you been healthy scratched?
I don't know, like, you know, 50, 60.
Oh, 50, man, that's a normal season for me. Like, yeah. I would get 50 a year. I would have my routine. I wouldn't even watch the games. I would do, like, my shit shave, shower, sauna, workout. I was in peak physical shape. It was incredible.
Yeah. Well, you're a big boy.
I would have wrecked you if we fought. You would have been just, like, good night construction site.
Listen, Johnny, if you wanna get back on the ice, I'll give you a year to train, no problem.
I can't skate anymore. I skate with old kids.
Anymore. I was gonna say. Anymore.
Thanks for coming on the show, Tim. I appreciate it. I think in my peak I could have beat you in a race.
In a race of what? A horse race?
Around the ice, one lap. You don't even know. Like, and then on add skate? Some turns in it. You can't turn very. I've seen you skate. You're good straight line. When you start turning, you wobble a little bit.
How many hits do you have in your career?
Per game, like 100.
Oh, stuck. No, I'm not talking about. I'm not talking the glass. I'm talking bodies.
I don't get to know the stats guy in every rink and say, hey, I got it. It's a contract year.
Were you ever top 10 in hits?
No, I didn't have to hit. I didn't have to. Everyone was scared of me.
Didn't have to. You couldn't. You couldn't catch anybody.
I remember we'd go into St. Louis and I'd say, Ryan, don't touch anybody. And you go, sounds good, Mr. Scott.
Oh, stop the madness.
Sounds
stop
good, Mr. Scott.
Madness.
I hope everything's Mr. good with you and Scott. Yours.
I never called Mr. to nobody.
He's okay, sir. No. Okay. Have a good game. I'm like, okay. That's right.
Yeah.
I'd say, what's your name? Turn around.
Were you saying this from the bench?
No, from the press box, probably.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the megaphone, yeah. Really better not touch anybody.
I always hoped if I didn't play and got healthy scratch, the other team's tough guy would go bonkers. Because I would, I'm like, I'm not playing tonight. Go for it.
Of course Green light. You did. 100%.
Yeah, I'm that type of teammate.
It would get you back in the lineup.
Oh, hell yeah. I would tell them before the game, like, go bury somebody, please. Get me back in the lineup. But they wouldn't because they were so scared of me. That was the problem when I played. Everybody was scared of me.
What do you mean everybody was scared?
No one wanted to fight me. I was so tough. He's speechless. He's scared to talk, Tim. He's doing some dance moves. I don't know what he's doing, everybody.
I wasn't dancing. I was pumping your tires.
Is
your
this head. Like the thing they do?
No, that was your head inflating. Bigger. That was your head getting bigger.
Oh, it's always fun. All right, Reval. Get out of here, you knucklehead. Thank you for joining us. This is always anytime. A blast. Everybody, watch Ryan this year in Toronto. He's going to kill it. They're going to win the cup. It's going to be fantastic. Actually, Mini will win it this year. Toronto will win it next year.
No. If anything, based on the trend, it would be next year that Mini would win.
Okay, so Toronto gets it this year, Mini next year. Bank it. Thanks for coming on. Ryan, are you pumping anything? You usually are.
Pumping the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Toronto Maple Leafs only.
Okay. That's it. And Revo 75 beer.
75.
What's that get stand for?
What does it stand for?
Yeah.
It stands for 75.
And that is the year you were born.
Is almost pretty close.
Oh, geez. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it, man. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.